That is Olivia from Thousand Bridges Opera. And we'll talk with Olivia and Alessandra in just a moment. And we have one more selection thereafter. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, Chad Green, Ty Trusky, and I see Alexa Bosick out there. This is Larry Berger. And this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIU-PFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ-FM Grove City, WCUC-FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org. And let me turn to Olivia. And I'd like to know a little bit about how opera discovered you or how you discovered opera.
Sure. Thank you so much for having us. This is actually my first time doing opera.
Ah. That's terrific. That must require some training and coaching. How did you develop the skills that you have?
Certainly. Well, Alicia actually recruited me. I was chanting Megillah, the Book of Esther, at Rod Ef Shalom Synagogue for the Holiday of Purim, which is a very extravagant and like flighty text.
Yes, noisemaking and all sorts of fun. Yeah.
Precisely, the dramatic story. And I chose a very dramatic chapter that I wanted to just overact and fill the room. And Alicia said, "You do opera, right?" And I said, "Well, I certainly would." And well, a year later, Alicia reached out and said, "We're doing this queer opera, Meow and Forever. And would you audition for it?" And I said, "Well, yeah, let's try this." And I love that the mission is to have a queer, accessible opera company in Pittsburgh. I do a lot of queer DIY theater with the Glitterbox Theater, which is reopened in Homestead. And making sure that there is stage and love and support and opportunities for queer people to express their theater dreams. So important to me.
And are you, that song was called Asha's Aria. I assume, is Asha the character you play?
Yes.
And who is the other cat?
Oh, I'm not one of our cats.
Oh,
but our cat duet will be coming up.
Okay.
It's fabulous.
How does Asha play in the work?
So I go over to my new girlfriend's place, Bailey's place, and oh, this drama of going up to the third floor and going on your date. And then, oh, her door is open, and she's with my ex.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
And I'm about to storm out, but the cats pin me down and make me understand the dramatic irony. It's proper opera. And I just feel so invested in by this company.
I can tell. I can tell you're invested in the work.
Well, I feel invested in.
Yeah.
I feel like the directors have really taken so much time to help me learn this piece and to help me build confidence and learn technique. And I really appreciate Thousand Bridges Opera.
Excellent. Any shout-outs you want to make?
Oh, my gosh. Well, since I've already shouted out the Glitterbox, I want to shout out my family and anyone who's listening to this and anyone who really needs some encouragement to pursue a dream today.
Excellent. Thank you, Olivia. And before Alessandra gets up, I just wanted to talk with you because this is going to be our last segment to talk. Tell me a bit about yourself and how you got involved. You're also the co-founder of Thousand Bridges Opera.
I'm not Bridget.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bridget. There's so many people,
okay.
And I'm trying to get everybody properly acknowledged. So the co-founders are actually Alicia and Bridget.
Yes.
And you are going to be one of the cats.
I am one of the cats.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell me about your interface with opera when it began. Mm-hmm.
Well, I grew up in a very Italian family, and my dad was always listening to, you know, Andrea Bocelli and Frank Sinatra, Pavarotti, and I always heard it and was like, oh, that's just noise. This is terrible. Like, what are we listening to? I'd rather listen to Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys. And then I remember he took me to the Pittsburgh Opera at one point, and I was like, this is going to be terrible. Very similar to your experience, Bridget. And I was like, this is completely awful. Why am I here? And then it was the Barber of Seville, and the overture plays, and I'm like, this is Bugs Bunny. I know this from Bugs Bunny. And I was hooked. I was like, if this isn't a cartoon, this is pretty cool. So it was from there I switched from pursuing pop music to pursuing opera. And, yeah, ever since then, I've just been in love with the craft.
Are you from Pittsburgh originally?
Kind of. I was born in Iowa, but I only lived there for 6 years, and so I always just say I'm from Pittsburgh.
Any shout-outs that you'd like to make?
Well, yes. Thank you to my mom for always supporting me, and thank you to my dad as well for supporting me.
Excellent. That's Alessandra Gabbianelli, who is going to take the stage once, for the first time, with Emily Gallagher. And as they do so, I'm just going to turn back so we get a chance to once again talk a little bit about the show and what's going to be happening with Alicia. Can you just walk up, or do you recommend people visit thousandbridgesopera.com to get tickets in advance?
Yes, I would suggest getting tickets in advance because tickets actually are selling pretty quickly. So be sure to visit us at thousandbridgesopera.com to get your tickets. They are $25. If you're able to walk up, we will accept walk-ins if we're not sold out. So
okay, once again, the dates are June 7th and 8th at 7:30. Have that correct?
Yes.
June 7th and 8th. And thousandbridgesopera.com is the website to go to. And now we have another selection from Meow and Forever. This is called The Cat Duet, featuring Emily Gallagher and Alessandra Gabbianelli. Now, if you're tuning in for the North Hills Orchestra, don't worry, they'll have a full segment coming up shortly. Once again, now with our thanks, we have a selection from, I am excited about this one because I love cats. Here is The Cat in Duet from Meow and Forever.
Yeah.
on the run. There you've got it. What a great duet. Emily Gallagher and Alessandra Gabbianella. Thank you, or Gabbianelli. Thank you to everybody today, Bridget, Alicia, also Olivia, and Jamie, our accompanist. Learn more about Thousand Bridges Opera at thousandbridgesopera.com. That zero day. Baba did it up deep south and dee out. Skiddly billy bum bum bada wum bum ba doo ba doo ba bum bum bum. Asylum Street Spankers. I love my baby, but my baby don't love nobody but me. from the album called Mommy Says No. Well, welcome now to the official beginning of our Youth Express Hour. A little bit of the pop-up opera segment with Thousand Bridges Opera taking place. Although it was really swell to have some connection to our Pittsburgh Concert Society Young Artists winners from the past. Now, in just a moment, you're going to hear 40-some musicians who came to visit us. Back in March, we knew that the logistics for a Saturday morning would be hard, so it's the segment that we recorded as if we were live. So you'll hear the whole thing. Sixth grade musicians, all from North Hills School District. That's coming up here at the Saturday Light Brigade. Once again, it's our pleasure to welcome the North Hills Middle School Orchestra today. Today, we have sixth graders that are here with us. The music program has been growing at North Hills School District, and so much so that we just limited today to the sixth grade members of the orchestra. There are 42 of them all together, if you want to visualize the musicians you're about to hear from. We have two conductors that will be joining us. Alice and Craig will be by to conduct the next number, but we're going to start off with Mr. Nicholas Franasevic. And what selection are you about to play?
We're going to play the theme from Jurassic Park, composed by the great John Williams.
Here, the sixth graders from the North Hills Middle School Orchestra. The sixth graders from the North Hills Middle School Orchestra. And Winnie and Nesta, come on up. We're going to talk to both of you after each selection today. or before each selection, we'll talk to a few students. Come on up so we can say hello to each of you. And let's start with you. Tell me your name, how old you are, and do you have any shout-outs to anybody you'd like to give?
My name's Winnie. I'm 11, and I guess I'll give a shout-out to my mom and my dad and my little brother and my cello teacher at home.
And you play cello. Tell me a bit about when you started and if you had any secrets to learning. A lot of people have trouble learning a musical instrument. You must still enjoy it since you're playing. Tell me a little bit about it.
Well, I mean, playing an instrument, you really have to concentrate, and you're doing a lot of things at once, so you have to kind of be, like, thinking about all of them, which can be really hard for some people. But I guess I've been doing that for a long time because I can play the cello.
Are there other things you like to do?
Yeah, I horseback ride a lot. I like to ski, and I'm pretty good at pickleball.
Excellent. Well, it's nice to meet you. Anything else you'd like to say?
No.
Great. Let's meet you next. You're playing violin, right?
Viola.
Viola. I quickly saw you put the instrument down. I didn't see it very well. Can you say your name and how old you are and any shout-outs?
My name is Nesta, and I am 12 years old, and I have a shout-out to my mother.
Now, you heard Winnie a moment ago talk about playing cello. What was it like learning how to play the viola?
It was kind of difficult because I started a year after usually everyone did, so I was learning it mostly at home.
And you make a lot of progress during that first year, so a lot of your friends who had already had a year, you probably had, not catching up, but just a lot to master to be at the same level as they are, I guess. Was that hard?
Yeah, it was pretty difficult.
What advice would you have to somebody just learning?
Just work as hard as you can and just have fun.
What other things do you like to do?
I like to mountain bike, roller skate, and I also like to snowboard, too.
Anything else you would like to say?
Nope.
Great. Well, thank you. There you've got Nesta and Winnie. We'll let you get back to your instruments. And as you do so, I'm going to say hello to Ms. Allison Craig and ask you how the year has been for your students. It's great to see 42 sixth graders. That means there must be about that many seventh and eighth graders.
Yes. Actually, we have the same amount of seventh graders, which is shocking. And in the past, we've met with our sixth and seventh grade tour this year, we decided it was probably not safe to bring 85 kids into one small space. And this has actually allowed us to perform in different venues. For example, after this, we're going to Children's Hospital and performing. And I think the last time we were able to perform there with a small group, which was actually our full sixth grade class, was I think in like 2018 or 2017. So it's been a while since we've been back at Children's Hospital performing.
And this is really a remarkable opportunity for students to perform, but also a service mission where you are on tour as an ensemble bringing music to people in different places. Today to our Youth Media Center as well as to radio listeners, but to those other organizations you mentioned too. So it's a great idea. You can't see them, but everybody is wearing North Hills black and red, and there are North Hills Middle School Orchestra T-shirts for the sixth grade tour, black and red, the right colors.
Yes. Every year we have a design contest, and this year Irvi, who's sitting right here, she's a violin player, she designed our tour T-shirts.
They are beautiful. Tell us about the next song, and conducting it will be Ms. Craig as well.
So the next song is a crowd favorite. Well, some of our students played this at PMEA String Fest last year for those who attended. And it's a song that it sounds kind of angry, and for some reason, our sixth grade likes to play angry songs, and I'm not quite sure why, but it is called Viking by Sunhi Newbold.
Once again, the sixth graders of the North Hills Middle School Orchestra. Sixth graders from the North Hills Middle School Orchestra, and we're going to talk with Eric and Andrew in a moment. I think Viking was a pleasant song. I didn't feel too much anger during that song. What I did feel was a lot of authority and movement and control. It seems like it would be a fun song to play. Come on up, Eric, and Andrew's on my other side. Who's who? Are you Eric? I thought so. I'll let you introduce yourself. How old are you and any shout outs?
My name is Eric Wyman and I am 12 years old about. My shout outs are to my dogs and my parents and my orchestra teachers that keep me going.
Excellent. And what do you play?
I play the bass.
I thought so. And how long have you played bass?
I played bass since fourth grade, so 3 years.
And is it a hard instrument to master? Did you play piano or any other instrument?
Bass is my first instrument. It's pretty hard because of the height of it and reaching down and up.
I can imagine. I know a friend who actually would stand on a stool to play it sometimes to be able to reach it. When you were not as tall as you are now, did you ever have to do that?
No, because I had a shorter bass then.
That makes sense. What else do you like to do?
I really enjoy art and drawing, like sketching, and sports.
Are there things you like to sketch, and are there materials you especially like using?
No, I just sketch really anything that comes to my mind.
Well, that's great. Anybody or anything else you would like to say?
No.
Great. Well, it's nice to meet you, and let's have you introduce yourself to the audience.
I'm Andrew. I'm 11 years old, and I don't have any shout-outs.
And what do you play?
Violin.
And how long have you played it?
3 years.
And what, if any, is the secret to staying with it? I would think at the beginning it might be a little hard. Was it?
There isn't really a secret. It's just, like, still, like, staying to it and actually, like, trying to get better at it.
And were there ever times you felt like giving up?
No.
Well, that's good to hear. What else do you like to do?
I like to solve like Rubik's Cubes and things.
Are you pretty good at Rubik's Cubes?
I'm all right at it.
Do you know the fastest you've do you time yourself?
I sometimes do.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast people can solve them. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No.
Okay, well, thank you both. We'll give you a moment to return to your instruments. You heard Andrew and Eric there. We're going to go up to the sky for the next song. It's going to be conducted again by Ms. Allison Craig. I should ask you about secrets to becoming a good music student. If you had a magic wand and could have one wish of somebody, not necessarily these students, but of any music student, what would you hope for?
In this day and age, I think that it's tough for certain kids whenever we start an instrument. And I've known everyone here since they started back and forth or fifth grade. I think a lot of the things I notice whenever we start is that it always comes as a surprise that they pick up this instrument and they don't automatically play exactly what they want, or it doesn't always necessarily sound like what they want it to sound like or what they're expecting it to be. And it does take a lot of work to perfect this craft.
That's a good way of putting it. The user interface is not quite like a mouse or a keyboard or anything. You really are putting your humanity into it to make it work.
Yeah, and it's string instruments are, we make it even more difficult by not putting any buttons or keys on there. Everything's kind of just felt on where our notes are, and we're just expected to be in tune all the time. So it is tough. It's always a learning process. And although Mr. V and I are quite strict and we expect a lot, we understand that, you know, you'll make a wrong note every now and then.
Yeah, it's a good analogy to life, being in tune and being prepared and recognizing that mistakes happen every now and then. Well, this song, I said we're going to go up to the sky, and this selection is the Jupiter theme. Do we need to know anything about this?
This is also yet, I feel like, another favorite for some reason. And there are every now and then, usually you would assume that sixth graders would like fast, fun music like Viking. This one is definitely not a fast song. It's very slow, lyrical, and we really like this piece.
Here again, the sixth graders of the North Hills Middle School Orchestra. Thank you. 42 musicians all playing together, all sixth graders from the North Hills Middle School Orchestra. Fenn and Leona, come on up. And as you are on your way up, I want to thank Heidi Coney, who also is here somewhere. There she is. Heidi is a music teacher at North Hills, a general music teacher and guitar teacher who's helped make things possible today as well. Let's start with Leona. Tell me what you play and a bit about yourself.
I play the violin and I'm 12.
Any shout outs?
To my whole family.
And tell me a bit about your relationship with music when you started to play and why you play, what you enjoy about it.
It was hard at the beginning, but I like playing different songs.
And what do you feel when you're playing in a group like this? Are you mostly thinking about playing, or does your mind sometimes wander off?
My mind sometimes wanders off.
Music can be really relaxing, I think. What else do you like to do?
I like to play outside with my friends. I like to play volleyball or bike with them.
And is there anything else you would like to tell people?
No.
Well, it's nice to meet you. Thank you. And let me turn over to Fenn. Hello. I'll let you introduce yourself to people who are listening.
Hello. My name is Fenn, and I am 12 years old, and I was born December 21st.
And what are you playing?
I play the violin. I've been playing it for 3 years now.
And do you play any other instruments?
No, but I used to play piano.
And tell me a bit about you and violin, how it was to learn. And I'm curious, too, about as you're playing, how it makes you feel.
Playing violin is great. It's relaxing. And I'm really thankful for my mom to push me into this. Originally, I was against it, but I'm really glad I'm here now.
That's great. Do you remember why you were against it?
Something about it just being really stressful.
I can see that. It's quite a commitment. Are there any other people you would like to mention or give a shout out to?
Mr. V and Miss Craig. Thank you guys so much for having me do this.
And what else do you like to do?
I like to do snowboarding, play video games outside with my friends, and play board games.
Excellent. Wait, do you have a favorite board game?
Catan.
It's not one I know. I'm going to have to look for that one. Anything else you'd like to say?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you to you both. We'll let you get back to your instruments, Fenn and Leona. This is going to be my last chance to talk to Ms. Craig and Mr. Vranicevic, the leaders of the North Hills Middle School music programs. And it's been wonderful to have you back. I'm just happy to see the groups growing and the preparation as you guys were tuning and getting ready. It's clear that everybody's serious, but it's also clear that everybody's finding a lot of joy too. So congratulations to you and Ms. Craig on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, this is just like a sports team. There's procedures we have to follow, but we have a good time along the way. Like Mrs. Craig said, we have a high expectation for them. They're achieving it. And we like to use the quote in our high school. I teach the high school orchestra as well, is that to play a wrong note is insignificant. To play without passion is inexcusable. So we like to continue doing that, starting that here in the middle school as well.
I like the sports team analogy. You could use slow motion replays. You could listen to game films to.
That'll be this. We'll listen. This will be our game film.
Well, I want to thank all of you. And as you're listening, just visualizing, especially in this day and age, 42 people assembled for a common purpose, doing something together, all doing something a little bit different, but doing it in harmony is a really terrific thing. And what selection do you have coming up?
We're going to play Clocks by Coldplay.
Ah, I think this is going to sound wonderful. I heard a bit of this in rehearsal. Our thanks to all of you today, the sixth graders of the North Hills Middle School Orchestra. Thank you. Well, there you have the 6th grade orchestra. All 6th graders combined from North Hills Middle School. And we congratulate the students for being with us. They were here back in March, and you heard them there just as we would have presented them live on the radio. They were here on March 7th. Now, we also had older students, and they're scheduled for a little bit later in the year. You'll get a chance to hear them. Our Youth Express segment continues. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for doing that. You might know about Allegheny Observatory, do you? It's a University of Pittsburgh facility that is in Riverview Park in Pittsburgh. And some great work occurs there. Star parties happen there. A lot of citizen astronomy, but also scholarship takes place. And that scholarship includes work with youth, and we have a couple youth that are part of the research programs at Allegheny Observatory. I'm going to let each of you introduce yourself, and if you have any shout-outs, please go ahead and pass them along.
Yeah, hello. My name is Esme Offner, and I'm a senior in high school, and I would like to thank Miss Handren at the observatory for all her organizing and help, and also Dr. Anna O'Grady at CMU, who's been helping me on my project this year.
And is this your senior year?
Yes.
So you're about ready to be done. You're at Pittsburgh Alderdose, right?
Yes.
And what are your plans afterwards?
Next year, I'll be going to Caltech in California.
Congratulations. You just sort of slipped that in there. Have you been out there a few times?
I visited once in April.
That's a great opportunity. Gianna, how about you?
Yeah, my name's Gianna. I'm also a senior in high school. And I would like to give a shout out to all of the members of the Allegheny Observers just for all of the fun times we have as a group and all of the great research we do.
Now, it says here that you go to Oakland Catholic OC, and did you just graduate as well?
Yes.
And that was, you guys graduated early, earlier than most. That was about a week ago, I think.
Yes.
What are your plans for the fall?
I will be attending the University of Chicago.
Boy, both good schools. That's where my brother went. Do you have winter coats? Good heavy winter coats?
I'm going to get more.
Well, I'd love to learn more about the work you're doing and what you've been learning. We've talked before, but your work has evolved since we last talked. So I'll let you kind of jump in and talk about what you're up to, and you can also interview one another or ask questions of one another as you talk about your work. Do you want to start, Esme?
Sure. Yeah, so this year I totally switched up what I was doing, and I decided that I would try and calculate radio velocities of stars. And so I chose this project because the observatory had recently gotten a new grating for their telescope, which essentially splits up all the light and allows the observer, so me, to get a spectra of what I'm looking at and try and find elements in that spectra. And so using that, I was trying to calculate how fast these stars were going towards or away from us. So the project was tricky, and I ran into a lot of challenges. So it was a lot of problem solving, and I didn't quite get the answers I wanted, but so is research. So, yeah.
Yeah, and my project, the main one I've been working on this year, is about variable stars and seeing if there is a correlation between their physical system and their light curves. So I took pictures of a bunch of variable stars over a certain time period, because variable stars are stars that have changes in their brightness over a period of time. So I would image the stars over a select period of time, so I would be able to map the brightness of the star and its different luminosities throughout its period. And then I was able to see that looking at a light curve, you can determine physical systems just by looking at that. And as well as that project, I've also been doing a lot of astrophotography with like galaxies and the last lunar eclipse.
I have so many questions. I'm going to turn back to Esme for a moment. What were the challenges that you found to be perplexing?
Yeah, so when you would normally do a project like I was doing, you need to have a spectra of the elements with nothing moving. So normally you would put an element just in front of your telescope, but the observatory currently does not have one of those. So I was trying to substitute that with taking images of stars that are not moving with reference to us, towards or away from us. And so I ran into a lot of issues with those spectra not lining up with the spectra I was trying to use to calculate these speeds. And so I was getting really, really, really large speeds, which were unrealistic.
So that really is an important part of research, is if you use a method and if you get an answer that is outlandish or just crazy, you have to rule it out, right?
Yeah.
I do that with math all the time. If I add 10 one-digit numbers in my head and get a number over 100, I know that something can't be right.
Yeah.
When you're measuring velocity of stars, I guess I'm wondering, it's one thing if you're measuring velocity, you've lots of dimensions to consider. I guess that's what I'm thinking about, is it's one thing to measure speed in a particular direction, but with velocity, the stars aren't really constrained, right? So do you have to account for that, or...
Yeah, so I was looking just at the component of the velocity, the radial velocity, that is going towards or away from... I changed my calculation so that they would be in terms of going towards or away from the sun.
Okay, so you figured out a standardized component of the velocity to constrain it.
Exactly.
That's smart. Gianna, did you have particular challenges in your work?
Yeah, so since I did many different variable stars, there were some of the stars that I did have to repeat nights for, solely because since I'm imaging for such a long period of time to be able to get the full light curve, if like a single cloud comes over the telescope, most of my data becomes ruined for that night, and that means I'd have to repeat it a different night. And there was one star that I believe I had to take about 6 different times before I could get an actual light curve on it, just because the counts kept getting messed up due to just clouds passing over the observatory. Because most of the time when we're observing, they're clear nights, but there's always the possibility of a stray cloud just passing over. So that was my main issue within the project. There weren't any like larger issues such as Esme had, but that did occur quite a bit for mine.
How do you know when you're tracking a variable star, how do you stay focused on it? How do you know you have the right star?
Yeah, so it's actually a program on the telescope that we use that tracks the star, and it moves the telescope in the dome according to where the star is. So we essentially, at the beginning of our observing sessions, we have to program the telescope to be pointed at that specific star throughout the duration of our observing period, and then it'll just stay focused on that star the entire time.
And what's that length of time like?
Well, it varies star to star. So there were some nights I was observing to get a full period for about like 3-4 hours. Sometimes the periods were only about 1 hour. It varied star to star 100%, but for most nights it was probably around 3-4 hours.
So they're shorter than I was thinking. I was thinking it would be a matter of days or weeks.
Yeah, there are some variable stars that are, their periods are a matter of days or weeks. And there are some that are even like years. So I was looking at mainly short-term variable stars rather than long-term. And in some cases, I was only able to get a select portion of its period just due to it being such a long period.
If you have a question you'd like to ask Esme or Gianna, you can call us 412-200-5975 or 1-888-752-7234. Do either of you have questions of the other about the project work you're doing?
No, we've both heard each other's talks on our projects multiple times. Yes. Yeah, because we present at science fairs together.
I'm curious, it's straying a little bit from astronomy, as to what you're feeling right now as you get ready to go to Chicago and to go out to Caltech. My guess in your case, Esme, are you like pretty much ready for high school? Like enough already? Like let's get going.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely feel a lot of that. I'm definitely done with high school, but I'm in the last like week and a half now, so
yeah, that's
not so bad.
I think that's a common feeling. I know Oakland Catholic students that I know, even though you're done now, but they were ready to be done much earlier. Do you, what is, some people might not know what it's like to be in this, it's a strange period, right? You're kind of, you're neither in a high school or in college, you're in between. What's that like?
It's kind of a weird feeling because you don't really know what to do with yourself because you're like, in past years, you're always ready for what's going to come in the fall and you're kind of like expecting it. You still have like summer homework that your teachers will give you for the next school year. But it's just kind of like a weird feeling not having to do any like schoolwork because like I know at Oakland we would have to do like all these summer assignments and it's just weird knowing that I don't really have to do any of those. Rather than that, we have placement tests to take and it's just an odd feeling knowing that in just like a few months everything will be completely different.
Do you know if you'll have a roommate or what your living conditions are going to be?
I don't know that yet. My housing applications are due at the end of the month and I don't find out until August. We'll see.
And what about for you, Esme?
Yeah, no, I'm feeling really excited to go to California, but also a little sad because all my friends are going different places. And so it's a little like unclear when we'll all see each other again after the summer. But yeah, and then like housing wise, I also don't find out basically until I'm there. So it's kind of hard to picture what it's going to look like in the fall, but yeah, but I'm still feeling very excited.
I'm glad. It sounds like, I mean, it would be common, I think, to be anxious, but it sounds like both of you are more eager and excited than anxious, which is a really good way to be. Do either of you know anybody at those schools already?
I do not.
I do. I did a summer program last summer with high school rising seniors from all over Pennsylvania.
Was that the NASA-sponsored program?
I did Pennsylvania Governor's School for Science.
Okay.
Yeah, and so there's another person who was there who's also going to be with me at Caltech next year. So.
Well, that's excellent. What do you think you're going to study?
I'll be studying astrophysics and probably also something, like probably a minor or a double major in something in the music field just for fun.
That's pretty cool. And what about you, Esme?
Yeah, I'm thinking either physics or astrophysics, but I don't have to declare my major until the end of my first year, so.
Yeah, and you'll have a lot of chance to go through a discovery period and to learn about things. Is there anything else either of you want to say about your projects or about science in general or about your work?
Yeah, just for everyone listening, the Allegheny Observatory is always open for visitors. If you go on the observatory's Instagram or the Eventbrite, you can find out about events happening at the observatory. There are also weekly plans, and we would love to see you at some of our events. And we actually have one next weekend, next Saturday night, where we will be talking about the celebration of student research. So a lot of our high school and middle schoolers will be talking about the research that they've been doing the past year. There will also be tours of the observatory, and it's a great way to get to know some of the work that's being done there.
So yeah. observatory.pitt.edu/research is a good way to find out that information too. Esme?
I think Gianna covered it.
You guys are great spokespeople for this, and it's wonderful to see you both pursuing STEM, but also thinking really broadly, including music and everything. I'd love to check in with you when you get back to see how your first year is panning out.
Yeah,
thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Esme and Gianna. This is Larry, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, 90.1 WIUP FM Indiana, 90.7 WMCO New Concord, Ohio, 90.7 KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, 91.1 WSAJ FM Grove City, 91.7 WCUC FM Clarion, 91.7 WNJR Washington, 102.9 WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org.